I would like to, for our scripture reading, I would like to do something a little bit different. We're going to do a little guided meditation. If you have never done this before, this is just kind of a very relaxing thing to do, and it kind of opens your heart for you to hear the scripture. So just kind of find a comfortable position and take a deep breath. Just inhale and exhale. Take a few deep breaths and just sense your mind calming down. And you could softly close your eyes if you like. And as I read Isaiah chapter 35, I'd like you to imagine that you are there and see the picture that Isaiah is painting with these words. We begin in a desert or a parched land. So transport yourself somewhere where it is like a desert and a parched land. And as you hear Isaiah chapter 35, see God's promise and possibility. Feel the joy as you hear and see. The desert and the parched land will be glad. The wilderness will rejoice and blossom. Like the crocus, it will burst into bloom. It will rejoice greatly and shout for joy. The glory of Lebanon will be given to it, the splendor of Carmel and Sharon. They will see the glory of the Lord, the splendor of our God. Strengthen the feeble hands. Steady the knees that give way. Say to those with fearful hearts, be strong, do not fear. Your God will come. He will come with vengeance, with divine retribution. He will come to save you. Then will the eyes of the blind be opened and the ears of the deaf unstopped. Then will the lame leap like a deer and the mute tongue shout for joy. Water will gush forth in the wilderness and streams in the desert. The burning sand will become a pool, the thirsty ground bubbling springs. In the hunts where jackals once lay, grass and reeds and papyrus will grow. And a highway will be there. It will be called the Way of Holiness. It will be for those who walk on that way. The unclean will not journey on it. Wicked fools will not go about on it. No lion will be there, nor any ravenous beast. They will not be found there. But only the redeemed will walk there, and those the Lord has rescued will return. They will enter Zion with singing. Everlasting joy will crown their heads. Gladness and joy will overtake them, and sorrow and sighing will flee away. Amen. What did you see? What did you hear? Isaiah sees this vision that starts in a dry deserted place. So what did you see as you transported yourself to a desert, dry, desolate place? Sand. Okay. Anyone else?
Dry shrubs.
Okay.
Skeletons.
Okay. So no life. Harsh. Difficult place. Anyone else? It's a place of scarcity. No future. Where living things struggle to survive, right? And in that desert, dry place, Isaiah sees a vision. What happens in that place? The life. Life begins to not just spring up here and there a little bit, but the image that Isaiah presents to us is that life is like bursting. All of a sudden, there's an explosion of life in that dry, dead place. Flowers are blooming everywhere. All of a sudden, the animals begin to come and birds begin to flock. And this explosion of life, it was just so beautiful. Isaiah said, the forest of Lebanon. See, Lebanon is known for their tall trees. So imagine this green emerald forest of Lebanon, the beauty of Carmel and Sharon. He says, those things don't even compare. This explosion of life. And as he sees this explosion of life, what else does he see? What kind of changes are happening to the people? The blind. All of a sudden, their eyes are open and they can see the splendor of the Lord. The mute tongue. Those who could not speak, all of a sudden they're just breaking out into joy, singing and shouting and laughing. Those who were lame, who could not walk, all of a sudden they are jumping up and they're skipping and hopping and running. And what else is happening? In the dry sand, all of a sudden, the waters are beginning to come up and they begin to pull. And then you see the pool is getting larger and larger. Big enough, deep enough for us to go jump in and jump in for a swim. And in the midst of this explosion of life, the feeble hands, the weak hands are beginning to be strengthened. Those who were in fear, those who were cowering in fear, all of a sudden their hearts are beginning to filled with power and strength that they are able to stand tall and straight. No more fears. And it says there are no more predators, that we don't have to worry about people taking advantage of each other, those strong oppressing the weak. So there's none of that. I can imagine Isaiah as he's seeing this vision and as he is recording all of these things that he's seeing. I just can't imagine Isaiah just beginning to smile, and then that smile is growing into a laughter, and that laughter is really growing into this hearty belly laughter. Because it is just so good to see this vision. Because this vision is not just the imagination in his mind, but this vision is the promise that God is giving to him and his people. You see, when Isaiah was writing this vision, the Israelites were living in exile. The Babylonians came, destroyed their city, their temple, their homes, and they took a lot of people as a prisoner, and they exiled them. They just uproot the whole people, and they took them and they just plump them somewhere that they don't even know where it's different language, different people all around, different food, different culture. And not only that, they are prisoner of war, right? So when they are exiled and plumped somewhere, how are they treated? They're not treated nicely. They're not treated as humans on the same level with them. They're almost like slaves, living in the dark times. So their life, living the exile, is just like living in the desert, where it's dry, where there's no hope, where there's fear, where there's anxiety. And so into this reality, God gives this vision of life exploding forth with this promise that there's a better life coming, a better reality, a place where there's going to be joy, hope, abundance. I'm sure this vision has kept the Israelites through their dark days of exile. And throughout the history, I'm sure this vision has kept the Israelites through very difficult and dark times in their history. Now, God did not just speak to Isaiah and Israelites then, but what God says in Isaiah chapter 35 still speaks to us in our day. As we look around our world, where do you see in our world that's just like that desert place, that's just like that desolate place, where there's fear and anxiety for future? It feels like there's no hope for our world. Do you see that? Every time I turn on the news, every time I hear what's going on in the world, all the war that's going on, all the violence that are happening, a lot of times it sure does feel like we are living in that desert, desolate place. We are afraid for ourselves. We are afraid for our children. There is that mentality of scarcity, that there is not enough. So people get greedy and they hoard. And while they're stocking up, there are people on the other side of the world dying of hunger. That's the reality we are living in. And it's very easy. It doesn't really take that much for this harsh reality to overtake us. And when we are afraid enough, that's when people fall into depression. That's when people look for a way out in different ways. And into this world, God gives us this promise, this hope, this vision of there will be life bursting forth that will give us a new reality, a different reality. And all of this hinges on one little word, Emmanuel. Emmanuel, God with us. See, when Isaiah saw this vision, saw this hope, and as he began to feel the joy that was just welling up from deep within, just like those waters bubbling up in the sand, making a pool, he saw that God that they worship is going to come. God, and when God comes, then you can't help it but to have that splendor of the life bursting forth, because that's who God is. And God, and he also saw in that vision, when God comes, then our world will be different. And God fulfilled that promise when God came down to us as a little babe, and when he was laid in the manger. That was the beginning of the fulfillment of this vision. So as Jesus grew and when he started his ministry, what were some things that he did to make this become a reality? Through Jesus' ministry, remember Bartimaeus, who was born blind? His eyes were opened and he could see. Those who were lame, they were able to walk. The paralyzed man who was lying there for 12 years, as Jesus walked by and Jesus healed him, he was now able to get up and take his mat and go home. See, the vision that Isaiah saw, it wasn't just a vision, but that's what Jesus came to do. And when Jesus came and walked among us, this vision became a reality. As we await for Christmas, see, we are already living in this reality because Jesus has come. But this reality we can live, it hinges on us having that connection with God. Emmanuel, God with us. We live in this reality when Jesus lives in our hearts. When we receive Jesus into our lives, then this reality becomes real for us. As we journey through our faith, as we grow closer to Christ in our relationship, sometimes we can see our eyes are opened things that we did not know before, things, the realities of God that we didn't understand before, all of a sudden as we read the scriptures or as we pray, it just becomes, oh, never knew that before. Wow, aha, that's who God is. That our eyes are opened. Sometimes we are so afraid that we become like the lame, that we are not able to move. And when Jesus comes into our lives, Jesus takes our hands, holds us up, gives us the strength, the hope to get up from where we are and take steps into the future. That's the new reality that we are living in. As we grow closer to Christmas, see, Christmas is not real for us unless Jesus Christ is born in our hearts, in our lives, and making our desert places of our lives and our world into this place that explodes with life. And I pray that this Christmas will be one of those that will be a different one, where Christ becomes a new reality for you and your life. That you can begin to see your desert places turn into this lush, beautiful, splendor place of God's glory. Amen.